Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yo, welcome to the Rapper Boys with P. Jizzle and the Dean Dog. Oh, sorry, wrong show, guys, wrong show.
Oh.
Paper Captains.
How's it going, guys? What's
you
up?
You prepared for that. You didn't know we were doing a rap show since we're...
No, I was taking off guard. I was quickly getting all my rap verses the size of the Odyssey. Just got out of the wardrobe. I've been a rapper for 10 years nonstop, yeah.
Guys, right. This is the Caper Captains. We're going to quickly talk about an Agatha Christie book. And we ruled out the idea of doing them in order because that seemed unnecessary. But I did think I would just start with her first one. I thought it was still a good place to start. So what we have here is The Mysterious Affair at Styles. Now, this is her very first book. And in this book, it introduces a little detective known as Hercule Poirot.
Oh.
So for anyone that didn't know, Agatha Christie's first book contains Poirot. So he's right in there. It's not, Hero One or Two standalone novels first. 1920, her first book, bang, in there, Poirot. Now, she does admit that she started Poirot too old. So in this book, Poirot is a retired Belgian detective refugee in England. And he's got a limp, which never returns. And I think, he starts as an old man, but of course, Poirot didn't realize she was going to be writing Poirot books for 50 years, you know, so he would be like 130 by the end. I think we just have to forget that detail that he starts like an old limping man, you know.
And he limps, does he? Okay, well.
Yeah, he limps. It's mentioned once at the beginning, and then that's it. It's not mentioned again, and I think that just gets swept under the rug. I think we forget about that.
Wow, okay.
So that's what awesome. Happens in this one? It's introduced by our narrator, Captain Hastings. Poirot's longtime friend. They've already known each other, and Hastings, he's come back from the war, and he bumps into a friend of his, John, and John kind of says, well, look, you're not doing anything. Come and stay at our house at Styles. We're not really close friends. We're old acquaintances, but, you know, they just come and stay at our house for miscellaneous reasons. So Hastings goes and says, that's fine. I'll stay at your estate in Styles. There's lots of people there. There's the main lady of the house and her, not sons, but stepsons. That's relevant because they mention a few times they're not blood relatives. There's a bit less trust there. And there's her stepsons and really just hangers on. Just people waiting for her to die so they can get her money. That's pretty much what is happening. It's not so much that there's any affection. It's very much, it's Mrs. Inglethorpe, by the way, the lady. But it's very much just we're waiting around her estate to see if we can inherit from her.
Okay.
And she has then taken a much younger husband who everyone thinks is a bad lot. And they don't like this guy because, well, he's Mr. Inglethorpe. That's her new married name. They don't like him because he's going to get the money then once they marry. And they think he's just married her for her money. And this is horribly immoral, even though they're all just there for the money as well. None of them really care about her, you know. The only person who cares about her is her companion. She has this, old lady's companion, very traditional in these type of books.
Right, okay.
She has a deadly premonition. In an early conversation, she thinks something bad is going to happen. She speaks out against the new husband, and then she gets dismissed. She's sent away, and the only person who really cares about the lady is gone.
Mm.
And on her way out, she says to Captain Hastings, look after her, because they're vultures. Something's going to happen, and I'm now gone. Look out for this lady. And of course, what happens? She dies. So there's a fit in the middle of the night. They break the door down, and she dies. but very conveniently included in all the miscellaneous, you know, menagerie of guests in the house are a girl who works with poisons at a chemist's dispensary,
ooh,
a doctor who just happens to call by that night, who is an expert, ooh, in poisons. Oh. You know, it's like, it's a little bit too much. And of course she's poisoned and they don't know who did it. And then the husband disappears that night. So they think, well, hold on, a girl with poisons, a guy with poisons, and a missing husband on the night of the killing. Like, there's almost too many suspects, you know? Like, did everyone do it? You know, it's too much.
Oh my God. Very typical of Agatha Christie, right? That she has, like, a lot of people that just fit in too well. Like, you know, they're always like, oh, this could have been that person because that person studied toxicology, or that person here has a motive, this one here. So she's always full of a lot of characters who have all, yeah, the reason to kill this person.
And this is the ultimate cozy mystery. It's the classic locked room. It's like, here's a bunch of people who could have done it. No one else could have done it. You know, they never consider outsiders or servants in Agatha Christie's book, usually. It's always, yeah, right, here's four or five people. They've all got motive. Which one of them did it? It's always
And that becomes the format for basically almost all of the other books she wrote later.
Yeah,
at least the mystery
the Agatha Christie style, essentially.
Wow, yeah. So it's a must read, basically, for any Agatha Christie fan. It's the first one, it's the first format, yeah.
So Hastings bumps into an old friend, a certain egg-shaped gentleman who uses his little grey cells. It is Hercule Poirot. And here's the quote where Hastings wanted to do a bit of detectiving himself. He mentions, like, yeah, I had an old friend who taught me a little bit, but I've now outgrown him. Like, I'm now better than that guy.
He's a bit of a Watson figure, isn't he? He thinks he can do it, but he's not, yeah, not really.
And he says, I've always had a secret hankering to be a detective. And they ask him, well, the real thing, you know, Scotland Yard or Sherlock Holmes? Oh, Sherlock Holmes, by all means. So right they reference Holmes and Watson in the play, in the book, page 11, right at the start, you know?
Oh, really? Okay, well.
And of course, they meet Poirot, and he's going to take over the investigation, basically.
Okay.
And there's a lot of things with people going to shops in disguises, and someone's disguised as someone. At one point, the girl's disguised as one person whilst using another person's handwriting, whilst pretending to be someone else. And it's like, you know, there's just fake clues everywhere, and they don't know who really did it.
Oh my God! Okay.
Everyone assumes it's the husband because he disappears, and early in the book they take the husband to trial and he gets acquitted. And then they think, well, damn, now what? You know, so that means one of us did it, not the new young husband, but one of the family did it, you know.
Oh wow, okay.
And Poirot offers there's evidence that they think she was poisoned in her coffee, but there's evidence that it couldn't have been. Poirot goes into the room and he finds a lot of clues. Some cocoa, some candle grease, fabric fibers, spilt coffee, a burnt note, an empty box of sleeping powders, and a smashed coffee cup. But the husband does himself no favors. Even at the inquest, he refuses to speak. It's almost like he wants them, like, he puts no effort into his own defense. He gets acquitted anyway. Because of the medical, suspicious, the scientific evidence. But the fact that he refuses to defend himself, it's almost like we don't know. But we also introduce Inspector Jack. Inspector Japp appears in a lot of Poirot novels. He's usually the lead inspector who takes all the credit for Poirot's work.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
He's a good chap. But Poirot says a few nice little things. You know, here's a man who sets out to poison his wife. He has lived by his wits. Presumably, therefore, he has some wits. He's not altogether a fool. So when people say, like, he's just a fool, he's like, well, you've told me he's a scoundrel who lives by his wits. Let's assume some vague amount of intelligence, then. You can't tell me he's a sneaky scoundrel, but he's unintelligent at the same time, you know?
Mm. So a bit conflicting, yeah. All right, okay, so that sounds interesting. So you got all the characters that appear in the later books, guys. I haven't read this book. I'm just here as a commentator, but I have read a lot of the books. So it's all resonating with me. And so you got Hercule Poirot, you got Japp, yeah, the good chap, Arthur Hastings. So these are the three characters that always appear back again. So, you know, what I love about this is that even without having read it, but I can hear that Agatha Christie already has established the base of her universe. This is like solid ground already. She can now move on to create other great books. It's not like stuff is added. Stuff might be slightly changed, like the limp you said, but basically she's got all the good stuff right here. Wow. Okay, cool.
And Hastings has a little trait throughout the books that he is susceptible to the ladies. Oh. And for no reason at all, he proposes to one of the girls in the middle of the play. And she laughs at
Does Watson do that? I can't remember, actually. Isn't Watson a bit of a...
He probably is. I haven't read very much Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But it's often like that with these mystery novels. So you got this... you got the second character... Actually, it's quite often with these mystery novels, they start a trend. I mean, you see it, for example, in Dr. House, which is based... You know, House and Wilson, which is based in Holmes and Watson. It's basically, you've got kind of the intelligent guy who's really socially... off. He's kind of just like, he doesn't really fit in. Even Poirot doesn't fit in with his, he's a Belgian refugee with a limp. And then you've got a more handsome kind of secondary character who's just learning from the big master, but he's often like, and they usually have an addiction. Does Poirot have an addiction, actually? Because they usually have an addiction of some kind.
Poirot, he has an OCD about neatness.
Yeah. They always have some trait. Just in mystery novels. I'm just talking to you guys in general.
Not like an alcohol addiction or something, but he has this addiction to neatness and regularity. And that's why he solves addiction. Cases.
They've always got something, OCD, yeah. And OCD for perfection, right, as well, yeah.
Totally. The need for perfection is very strong with Poirot, it is indeed.
Yeah. I forgot about that, yeah.
The proposal's hilarious because he just sits with her and he previously liked one of the other girls, but then this girl says, oh, you're always so kind and you know a lot.
Hastings.
And it struck me at this moment that Cynthia was really a very charming girl, much more charming than Mary, who never said things like that to me, you know. so she says something nice and he proposes and she just laughs and just look, someone will accept you next time, as though he's just going around proposing to every girl, like maybe the next one will say yes, you know.
Oh, awesome.
But there's a lot of cover-ups and a lot of layers to the crime. It's very intelligently written. There's one great moment. Poirot, although we never really see him in love in any of the plays, he respects love and he'll do anything to help the young people be in love. And he actually orchestrates an entire trial for murder just to restore a husband and wife back in love.
Wow.
At one point in the play. And that's a very noble thing. That's insane. What if it had gone wrong? And he says, well, no one could have done it. Only Hercule Poirot. You know, I'm the only person who could pull that off.
Well, he is Hercule Poirot after all, yeah.
That's it. And, but it's a good one to read. It really is.
Yeah, and don't forget, guys, it's the first novel she wrote when she was 26, but it wasn't published until she was 30. So it took her about 4 years to get it published, and she even had to change the ending. So sometimes just keep on trying publishing that novel. And yes, and then she became a huge best-selling author, a great author. And yeah, it was published in 1920, which makes it 101 years old as of this year. Mm-hmm. So wow.
I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I would like, since you haven't read this, if I tell you that we've got the dead lady, we've got Poirot and Hastings, we've got the companion who's dismissed, we've got the young husband and the two sons-in-law, both of whom want to inherit, and of course the doctor who's the poison expert. Who do you think did it?
Wow. Okay, so I haven't read it.
I'm asking you, who did it?
I don't think it's a husband. I don't think it's a husband. I'm gonna go with what about the woman who actually pretended to love Emily Inglethorpe, the one who was her companion, and what if she set it up for some reason and maybe she had some kind of agreement with one of the characters, and then that they could keep the money. Maybe she's in agreement with Alfred, the second husband, or one of the stepsons. That's what I'm thinking. I think there's an outsider there as well.
It's an interesting theory.
Anyway, I have to read it now because you're not going to tell me.
But I'm not going to tell you.
You got me hooked, Dean. That's the main thing here. So,
guys,
okay.
That's us. That's the first mini-sode of Caper Captains. We'll see you next month. Right. And, you know, don't go murdering anyone.
Don't go murdering it. And keep those little gray cells always trained up and healthy, all right?
That's it.
See you guys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.